Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the next installment of our Heidelberg Catechism lesson. Let me just get us situated here. We ran into some real technical difficulties this morning, and so if you notice something wrong with the stream as we're going here, somebody shoot me a text or call me or something, or drop it in the comments. But if we're having the same kind of trouble we had earlier, still not entirely sure what was causing that before. So let me know if we're having any technical difficulties today. But I do welcome you back to our Heidelberg Catechism lesson for this Lord's Day. We're on Lord's Day 50 of the Catechism. That's question 125. Again, we're using this book, this edition of the Heidelberg Catechism, and I've put the link to the same edition, the same translation in the description, as I've done every week. And that has all the same scripture references on it. So go ahead and pull up either that link or get your book open, and we're going to look at page 123, question 125 in the Heidelberg Catechism. As I've done each week as well, I've put some psalms in the description that you can sing, that I hope you'll sing at home, and be able to have that part of what we usually do in the afternoons, even though we aren't singing on the live stream itself. Those are chosen to fit the lesson that I'm giving today. So take a look at those if you haven't already. We're continuing our study through the Lord's Prayer here at the end of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're getting right down to the end, and we've been working our way through the six petitions, the six questions or things that we request from God in the Lord's Prayer. And so we've already done the first three, and we're on to the fourth petition this week. So if you have any questions while we're going, while I'm teaching this afternoon, drop those in the comments. I'll be sure to try to get to those at the end, or you can text me if you're not a Facebook user, but you're just watching this from the outside. I'll look at those questions when we get to the end. But remember, again, since we haven't talked about this in a while, the structure of the Heidelberg Catechism, remember, we're in that gratitude section at the end. And we've already talked about our guilt, we've talked about God's grace, and now we're in that gratitude section at the end. And that's important as we talk about how we pray. We come to this knowing that we're coming as beloved children to our Father to ask for these things. That's pretty important as we make these requests. This is coming after God's grace to us. So we're looking at the fourth petition today, which is the one about our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And you'll notice that there's a shift in the language between the first three petitions and the last three petitions. And the first three that we've covered already, we say, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we get to the fourth one, and there's a shift, and it says, give us this day our daily bread. So we've started the prayer already with seeking God's glory, wanting him to be glorified, and now we're shifting to our needs. We start with his glory, but we have real needs as well, and God cares about our needs, and so we're starting in on those here with the fourth petition. And so it's interesting, if you look back at church history, the church fathers were kind of shocked, it seems, by this shift from praying about God's glory and his holiness and his kingdom and his will, that suddenly to be talking about food, literal food, and what we need physically to survive. And they thought this was kind of too sharp of a shift. And many of the church fathers tried to allegorize this bread that we're talking about here. And they thought it referred to spiritual sustenance or to the bread of life or to the Lord's Supper even. But I think honestly that betrays a little bit more of the Platonic philosophical influence that was going on at the time where the body was seen as sort of lesser or not important, and that the spirit is what really matters. And the reality is what we're going to talk about today is the daily physical needs that we have, which includes food that we need. And we see this because Jesus talks in that same chapter in Matthew about where he gives us the Lord's Prayer. In that same chapter, he talks about us needing food and clothing, because And he tells us not to worry about them because God knows that we need them, that he will give them to us. So as we look at this today, I hope you'll see, or we're going to be looking at this idea of daily physical needs. And as we do that, I hope you see that this is something that our Heavenly Father cares about, that he cares about that you have the food you need, the shelter you need, the daily provisions that you need. And we'll also look a little bit this afternoon about how this connects to how we work and provide for ourselves, and how do you connect praying for God to give this to you, and also how do you connect praying that God would give it to you to going out and working hard and doing what you need to do to provide for yourself. And then after that, we'll look just briefly at a few things that we're tempted to trust in instead of God. So we'll look at, we'll talk about these daily needs that we have. We'll talk about how we provide for ourselves, and also look a little bit at the things we might be tempted to sinfully trust in besides God for these things. So question 125 in the Catechism says this: what is the fourth petition? Answer: give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide for all our bodily need, so that we may thereby acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that without your blessing, neither our care and labor nor your gifts can profit us, that we may therefore withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. So maybe in that answer you saw some of the same structure I said we're going to follow here. And it starts off here saying that we're asking that God would be pleased to provide for all our bodily need, for all of the needs of our bodies in our daily life. And of course, in the prayer, we say, give us this day our daily bread. And so why does Jesus make reference to bread? Is this just a reference to food, or is there a reference to more involved in our lives? The word bread here, I think almost everyone agrees this word is really just intended to represent all of our basic physical needs. For your million-dollar word for the afternoon, this is what we call a synecdoche. A synecdoche, which is where you use one word that's a part. You use a part of something to refer to the whole thing. So this is the same as when you talk about head of cattle, or when you talk about a car as wheels. You're referring to just a part of it to refer to the whole. So when we talk about bread, we're not just talking about food. We're talking about, or even just bread as a category of food. We're talking about all of our physical needs. Now, I will say that for those of you who choose to be gluten-free, I do think there's some food for thought here that Jesus does say we should be praying for bread. So I think bread is a fairly important thing. And with that combined with the Lord's Supper, I'm just not sure that is a good life choice. But I'll leave that up to you. But we are praying for our physical needs. Again, this is contrary to a lot of the church fathers. If you look back at Augustine or some of the others before him, they didn't think it was proper for us to be giving such a place of importance to our physical needs. But as I mentioned earlier in Matthew, where in the same chapter where Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, he tells us that the Father knows that you need these things. He knows that you need food, you need clothing, you need these daily physical supplies. And so in that case, Jesus tells us not to worry about those things because God gives them to us. But then when you look at Philippians 4, the antidote to worry or anxiety there in Philippians 4 is to bring our supplications to God with thanksgiving. So on the one hand, we're not supposed to worry about it and just trust God to give it to us. But in Philippians, we're told when we are worried, if we're anxious, we should bring those requests to God. And in our comfortable Western society, what we are going to eat today is really not as big of a concern for us as it is for so many around the world. But if you are anxious about it, you should be bringing it to the Lord, whatever the physical need is that you have. Psalm 145 in your books, Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16 says, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." And Psalm 104 also there says, These all wait, Psalm 104, 27 to 28 says, "These all wait for you that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good." And so it clearly says God's the one who gives us these good things. He is concerned with physical things. He's not just concerned with spiritual things in our lives. And so for those of you kids who are watching, I want you to stop for a moment and think about what do you need today? What do you need when you wake up today? When you woke up today, what did you need? You needed, you probably needed some clothes. That's usually one of the first things you do. You put on clothes because you're going to need clothes to maybe to keep you warm. Although today it's kind of a nicer, warmer day. Of course, if you're isolated under quarantine, you might just stay in your PJs all day. But you need clothes, and that's something that God gives us. Your parents provide food for you, and you probably, it usually just appears on the table probably, but you need that food, and God is the one who gives that, who provides for your parents so they can provide for you. You need water, you need, or milk or juice or something like that. You need a shelter. You need a place to be inside, to be protected from heat and cold and from rain and snow and all those kinds of things. And again, you rely on your parents for those things. And sometimes all of us rely on other people for those things sometimes. But at the end of the day, those are things that God gives you. And so I would encourage you kids to pray for those things, to say, "God, please give me the food I need today. Please give me the clothes I need today. Please take care of me in all these very simple ways." And I think maybe those of us who are more grown up are maybe the ones who would struggle more to bring what we think are mundane requests to God. I think kids generally understand that you can ask God for anything. We should never get to the point where we've so spiritualized our relationship with God that we think he doesn't care about these daily burdens, these things that are heavy in our hearts. So we should pray for these needs. Now, it's interesting that the Catechism doesn't really comment on the word daily here and why it talks about our daily bread. But I do want to say a little bit about this here because it's an interesting topic, partly because it's kind of a difficult word to translate. The word that's translated daily in both Matthew and Luke, where we're given the Lord's Prayer, is actually, it's not found anywhere else in any Greek literature except for the Bible and except when people are quoting the Lord's Prayer, except for maybe one instance, and it's even debated whether that really is an instance of the same word. And so there's a lot of debate about what this word really means. There's no other context around, you know, from other documents to tell us what this word means. And even the early church fathers who spoke Greek were kind of confused by it. And most people think that, so it's a word, it's a composite word. This word that we translate daily is a composite word with a preposition at the beginning, which Greek does a lot of the time, and then another word. And the preposition means concerning or upon. And then the second half, it's not entirely clear what it means. It could be a term related to days, related to tomorrow or today. It could also be a word term that's related to our being. So it could be, the term could mean concerning the day or concerning tomorrow, or it could mean concerning our being, our necessity. Another way to put that would be our necessities. And those are really the main interpretations that are proposed, or translations are one, it's daily for today. Another is daily for tomorrow, give us today our food for tomorrow. And the other is give us today what's needed, what's necessary for our lives. And I've studied it this week, I think the arguments for it meaning necessary, give us today our necessary bread, is probably actually the most, it makes the most sense linguistically to me. I'm not an expert. But either way, all of these ideas together, the idea of it being for today or for tomorrow or for our needs, the idea here is give us what we need for today. Give us what's necessary. Where it makes me think of Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. In Proverbs, the prayer is, Lord, give me what I need, not too much, not too little. And some interpreters actually think that the reason that Matthew and Luke gave us this sort of new word was that they were trying to translate something that Jesus had said in Aramaic that may have been similar to this word for needful in Proverbs 30, where we're saying, give us what's needful for us today. So I don't mean to get you bogged down in all kinds of details of that. But the idea here is we're asking for what's necessary and not for the Lord to give us so much money that we forget him, so much food that we never feel like we need him, but also to give us enough that we're not tempted to steal, like it says in Proverbs 30. You could think of the Israelites in the desert or in the wilderness and their daily bread. And you think about God giving them their manna every day, and he would give them a double portion on the day before the Sabbath, so they wouldn't have to go out and gather on the Sabbath, but it was a daily thing. They learned through that to rely on God every day. And I thought it was interesting. One commentator pointed out that praying, give us this day our daily bread, is a reminder we should be praying every day. This isn't just a prayer for the Lord's day. It's not just a prayer for every once in a while when you remember to do it. We should be praying the content of the Lord's Prayer, whether we say these exact words or not. These are things we should be praying for every day. That was a good reminder for me. We will pray this today, and we're going to need to do it again tomorrow and the next day until we no longer are in this life. So then the catechism goes on here and says that this petition teaches us that without your blessing, neither our care and labor nor your gifts can profit us. Or that when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're telling the Lord, we're saying, without your blessing, our work and your gifts, the good things you give in this world, aren't going to do me any good. It's only when God blesses us that we will have what we need. And so this catechism recognizes that we do work for our food. We do labor to get what we need. We're not the Israelites, or even though they went out to gather the manna, we're not the Israelites who have miraculous food dropped from heaven every morning. We do go out and work, and we provide for ourselves. We've just seen in our Second Thessalonians sermons, I just preached to you on the passage that says, if any man will not work, neither let him eat. We're taught that connection between working and providing for ourselves, and we should expect to do that. So then how does that work? If we pray for this, but we also know we have to go out and work, what's the connection here? Well, it brings to mind a time when we were at a dinner party, or not a dinner party, we were at somebody's house for a meal. There's a whole group of people from our church a few years back before we lived here. And we had a friend who was there who was an atheist. And I remember we gave thanks for the food as a group. And she said, after the prayer, she turned to us and said, you know, I think that's actually kind of rude to thank God for this food when the people who are hosting us worked hard and paid for this food, and they did all the work to provide, you know, to make the food. I think it's kind of rude to thank God for that. And it kind of caught me off guard. It took me a little while to think about what to say, because it's when you grow up in a Christian home, if you grow up in this environment, you're used to thanking God for these things. But it does bring up the same question. How do we connect the fact that we work hard for our food, but we also ask God to give us our food? But the answer is that, again, without God's blessing on our work will not be fruitful. You see this really clearly in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. Haggai 1, verse 6. This is a time when the exiles had returned, but they hadn't rebuilt the temple yet. And God disciplined them for that. And listen to the way that he disciplined them. It says, you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. And I love that picture, the vivid picture of you get your wages and you get your pay and you stick it in your pocket and it's gone. It just falls out a hole at the bottom. It seems like it's just gone away. And the Psalm 127 verses 1 and 2, which is in your book, it's on the backside on page 124. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. So we can work and work and work, but I'm sure all of you have had that experience of doing a lot of work and you don't get any fruit for it. You don't get the pay you were expecting, or you're working on a project and all of a sudden it falls apart. It just goes up in smoke. And we recognize that even in our work, it's only by God's providence and his kind provision that we have, that our work is fruitful at all. And so we ask God to give us our daily bread, and then we go out to do the work that he's provided for us to do, recognizing that if he didn't bless what we were doing, we wouldn't have what we need. Because God in his providence sends all kinds of things that are outside of our control. I mean, ultimately, none of it's really fully in our control, but there are many things that are even more so out of our control. He sends certain rain at certain times. He sends sun at certain times. He sends physical health. He sends disease. He sends job opportunities. He sends economic downturns where you might lose your job. And again, without his blessing, our labor, our work is really in vain. Even when we do the work that God has given us and we provide for ourselves, we should never think that we're doing that, that we can rely on ourselves when we do that, that it's only because God's blessed us that we have these things. And related to that, then the catechism goes on to say that we may therefore withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. That when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying we're not going to trust in anything else as our ultimate hope for what we need. We're not going to trust in these other things that tempt us to trust in them. We're not going to trust in any creatures, as it puts it here. And I would add not in any creatures or in any part of creation, that we not trust in any wealth that we have. And I was thinking through the areas that I think that we struggle with this most today. When you think about your sense of security, maybe if you do run short financially, where do you think of turning first? What is your, or even if you're not short financially right now, if you wonder about those kinds of things happening, all of a sudden things fall apart in your life, what immediately comes to mind as your safety net, as what's going to provide for you in that time? And I think one of the great dangers is just financial security itself, and especially insurance policies. It's certainly wise to have a safety net of your own financially, to be frugal and to save in a way that you're able to handle difficult things that come up. It's important to have certain insurance policies in place to protect other people and to protect yourself at times. But the problem is that those things can become our safety net, our ultimate safety net. We might think, well, I'll be fine because I have this X number of dollars in the bank, or I have, you know, my family will be fine because of this life insurance policy that I have. But friends, security that finances offer is a gift from God when we have it, but without God's blessing, that part of creation can't help us. And so our ultimate trust needs to be in God himself. I think another place that we're really tempted to trust in for our daily needs, that's especially pertinent right now, is the government. And many of us have just received a check or a direct deposit into our accounts of just straight money from the government to try to provide for us and help us out in this difficult time. And certainly, and depending on the country, certain countries really go overboard in providing for everybody's last need. The government is essentially a parent to every citizen and providing exactly what we need. And there may be a place, a time and a place for some of those measures, but if you think about going into a crisis, if something falls apart, if your business falls apart, if your work falls apart, if you run out of the things that you need, is it the government that you think of as your safety net, is the place that you would turn to? I think many of us would say, well, no, the government's not the first place I'm going to turn to. But I think many of us would think, well, my family will take care of me, or even my church family will take care of me. You know, if you have people who love you in your life, whether that's blood relatives or church family, we should trust in them in some ways. We should count on the church to provide for us when we have needs, when the church is there. But at the end of the day, all of these things are either creatures or creation, and they're not God themselves. And God may use all of those things in one way or another. But if we trust in them, ultimately we're going to be disappointed. Those things, our families will let us down, our church will let us down, our government will let us down, and we have to have a foundational trust to be able to weather the deepest crises in our lives. We have to have a deeper trust in the only one who is perfectly trustworthy, and that's God Himself through Jesus Christ. So Jeremiah 15 or 17, 5 and 7, which is in your book again on page 124, it says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." And then Psalm 146, 2 and 3 there says, "While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes," aka the government. "Do not put your trust in the government, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help." So I would encourage you to think about what would happen if you truly lost everything in this life. If you truly lost, it's hard to imagine how these things would all come to pass. But if you were truly to lose everything you have, all the family connections you have, the church connection you have, the government falls apart, the world falls apart all around you, you have no finances, no safety net, do you trust God to take care of you in that time? Because that's the trust we're expressing when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And you know, we don't just have to think about apocalyptic scenarios for that to be apocalyptic in the popular way of using that term. We can also just think of smaller crises like we're going through right now. I think it's betrayed for a lot of us where our trust has been. And it's shaken some of us, and we need to look carefully at that. And kind of like our Christ-centered life series, as we've looked at these different parts of our lives, these things all have their place as long as Christ is at the center. These other measures that God uses to provide for us all have their place, but we have to start with our Heavenly Father who loves us as our foundation. So I would encourage you again to think today about what you need right now. You know, what is it that you need in your life right now? I think many of us have had to think more, maybe more specifically or intentionally about our physical needs in the last few weeks than we had been, because all of a sudden we couldn't get to the same stores we were used to, or certain items weren't available, and simple necessities, or what we think of as necessities like toilet paper and things like that, suddenly maybe weren't going to be available, and it maybe touched a nerve for some of us. But in many ways, it was just a minor taste, a small taste of what so many people around the world experience every day, not knowing whether they're going to get what they need today. And Jesus said, "It's so difficult. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And I know that each of us has different financial struggles at times, and there's real poverty in our nation, but on the whole, we don't deal with poverty in the way that most of the world does, and in our lives. And it is hard for us to truly trust God when we have so many good things that we could easily trust in. And because when you're satisfied and when you have enough for the next few weeks or you have enough for the next few months even, or as you're nearing retirement and you think, well, I've got it all set, I've got everything I need in the bank, we're tempted in those moments to forget our God. I also think we should be, this part of the Lord's Prayer should remind us to be thankful for the work that God has given us to do, for those of us who work to support ourselves. So again, that's something that's become, that we're not taking for granted right now. Many people aren't able to work right now. Some of you have lost jobs or lost pay. And so we've been reminded a lot of this is outside of our control. And I hope that's driving us to prayer. It's driving us to ask God to provide for us, because we realize we can't, you know, if we work for somebody else, we can't guarantee that they're going to be able to pay us these days. If we work for ourselves, we can't guarantee that our products can be, we'll have buyers and transportation and all those things that might be outside of our control. And so it's just a reminder to us, this prayer is a reminder to us that it's God who gives us the opportunity to work. But the great comfort in all of this is that we do have a Heavenly Father who loves us and who cares for us. And the reason that he loves us and cares for us, or the way that he has welcomed us, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. We are his beloved children because of Christ. We've been adopted into his family. And coming back to what I was saying to the kids earlier, kids, I think, rightly assume that their parents, in a sense, rightly assume that their parents will provide something for them. And we, as the children of God, adopted through Christ, forgiven through him, beloved through him, can expect our Father to care for us and to provide for us. And so we pray this with joy and hope, and we're not just hoping against hope that we'll get something, but we trust in God's great loving care that he will provide for us. So we can give thanks for what he has given us, and we should pray for what we need every day, because God loves us and he cares for us in these things. So that's what I had planned for today, to look at this fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer. So if anybody has any questions, I don't see any in the comments right now, but I know there's a little lag. So if you have a comment, go ahead and drop it there. Otherwise, we will check to make sure, or we'll just sort of wrap things up here. Oh, and thank you for the feedback, Jim Housley, on that it's working okay. I'm glad we weren't having the same technical issues as before. It's good to be with you folks, and looking forward to the time when I can try to keep you guys awake in person with this stuff. So why don't we go ahead and close in prayer this afternoon, and look forward to wrapping up the catechism here in just the next few weeks. So let's pray together. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the way that you care for us. We thank you for giving us so many good things. And we don't struggle with hunger and with a lack of shelter like so many do, at least certainly not on the scale that others do. And we thank you for that blessing. And we do pray that you would provide for us for today. You would give us what we need. You would protect us from physical harm, that you would give us just those daily sustaining things that we need, that our bodies need. And we ask that you would help us to guard our hearts against the other things that we're tempted to trust in, that we wouldn't be trusting in the government ultimately, or trusting even in our own finances, or even our own families, but that we would, our foundational trust would be in you, and then that we would make use of these good gifts that you've given us in other ways as you've provided them for us. We thank you so much for this time that we can sort of spend together, and pray that you would bring us together again soon, that you would push back this virus, and that we would be able to gather in a normal way soon. But in the meantime, we pray that you would sustain us and help us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I love you folks, and I hope you have a blessed rest of your Lord's Day. If you come up with questions or thoughts or comments or anything after the fact, you're always welcome to text me or call me, and I will see you guys next time. Thanks. Bye.